Accession number 716.
Mr. Oxley, Reel 1. The first thing I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Oxley, were some pre-war questions. At the beginning of the war, you told me you were working as a silk warehouse clerk.
That's correct, yes.
Now, what interests me is, exactly why did you make that move to Woolwich Arsenal?
Oh, well, it was actually contingent to the war coming into my particular age.
When you say it was contingent, what do you mean exactly?
Well, it's relative. I mean, war is relative to one's age when you're impressed or involved in it.
So why did you decide to go and work in Woolwich Arsenal?
Advert, I would say, was in the daily papers that they were wanting young men to go into the armaments.
Yes. Was there much publicity of that kind for munitions workers?
Oh, there was quite a lot, yes.
Did it take any other form apart from press adverts?
Only by, for instance, myself saying, well, I'm at the Woolwich Arsenal, where you're working, to friends. You kind of suggest it and invite them to take on a similar kind of job.
Yes.
Because the money was better than the particular job they were in, you see. For example, my weekly wage with textiles was 8 shillings a week, you see. And by virtue of the fact that I went into Woolwich and I was working 12 hours a day, on days and nights, your salary was accordingly increased.
How much did it increase by when you moved?
Well, that was difficult to determine, but it was considerably. I mean, the incentive was terrific. Anybody on armaments, they were like the modern car worker today. They were affluent, you see. And we were paid in golden sovereigns.
When you went to Woolwich,
yes.
Did you get any kind of training for your job?
No. No, it wasn't necessary. Repetition work.
Which part of Woolwich Arsenal did you actually work in?
I went to the first gate, which is immediate to Berryford Square, Woolwich. And the factory was called the Light Machine Shop.
And what was the job of that particular factory?
My particular job in the factory was relative to putting holes in fuses of shells. And you worked to a gauge. In other words, you did so many, then you put your gauge to the particular hole you were drilling, and if it was oversized, well, you called your foreman and he would check it and make it all suitable to the particular gauge. In other words, if the job was found to be too big or too small as regards whatever you were doing, it was rejected. I remember so well, we had a special department.
You were telling me about this special workshop.
Inspection. We had a special department for inspecting these particular components we were making for the shells. And they were very meticulous, and any rejects, of course, were classed out. And other than that, the work was repetition, so there was no skill required whatsoever.
Were you paid according to the number of hours you worked, or according to the number of these...
Production.
According to production?
Yes.
So it was a piece...
I think it would be coupled, really. After all, if one was working 12 hours a day, it would constitute overtime from normal working hours, would it not? I think so, yes, I'm sure of that.
I wondered whether you were paid according to how many you produced or according to the number of hours you worked.
Well, I think it was a combination, actually.
I see.
Because I remember you prompted me about that. There used to be a notice on the office, what they called a decimal. Yes, it was called a decimal. And if your decimal was high or low, your salary was relative to that. So it must have been production plus overtime.
Thank you. You said you worked 12 hours a day.
Yes.
Now, how were the shifts organised in your factory?
8 in the morning, this is day work, 8 in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, and there was immediate changeover for the night workers to take over from 8 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock in next morning. So the machines actually didn't stop, other than your time for lunch or whatever, if you were on night or days, you see, meal times.
How did you travel to and from work?
Well, I was in residence in southeast London. Peckham is the name of the district, and you had alternative means of getting there by public transport, and that was by the tramway or the omnibus.
And what about night shifts? How did you travel then?
Exactly the same. They had the buses and trams running.
So the trams ran 24 hours a day?
Yes, it did, yes.
Was transportation any problems?
Oh, much so.
Why was that?
The problem was this. There was no organisation, as we know it, of lining up to get onto a vehicle. It was one man for himself. And it was chaotic. I mean, each one, if you travelled a journey, as I did myself, would have a little basket with your meals in. And oftentimes, all you'd be left with was the handle of the basket.
Which was the worst time as regards travel, when you were working the day shift or the night shift?
I would say it was about 50-50. Yes.
Tell me a bit about the workshop you were in. Yes. How big was it and how was it sort of organised?
It was a vast workshop, very vast indeed. It was termed the light machine shop because there was no heavy machines, no heavy work done there, you see. All the heavy work was done further down towards Plumstead. I remember there were milling machines and lathes being worked by the skilled workers and capstan lathes. The capstan lathes turned out repetition work and they were worked by men of older age, you see. But it was repetition, there was no skill required whatsoever. On the lathes where they worked to close limits, that was a different kettle of fish.
Yeah. What sort of clothing did you wear while you were at work?
Boiler suits.
Were they provided by
the... No, they weren't provided.
Where'd you get them?
Well, you can buy them anywhere, really. People who did any kind of clothing.
Yes.
It wasn't no difficulty in getting your boiler suits.
Yes. While you were working at the arsenal, yes, were there any problems as regards industrial accidents or injuries?
Prevalent in my particular job was filings coming off the machine into one's eyes. There was no protection to shield your eyes from the filings coming up. And that was, an occurrence which happened quite often. And in the arsenal, they had their own hospital for treating any particular disability, and I oftentimes went to the hospital and had my eyes looked at to get small filings out of the eyes. And
did these filings cause very serious accidents?
Not serious.
Were there any safety precautions that were recommended by your employers?
No. There was no, guards to protect you. When we had newcomers come into the job, or onto the bench, sometimes the young boys would be skylarking and throw a piece of waste that's kind of a mixture of cloth to wipe your hands on, onto a machine when it was working, and it would throw all the filings up and that kind of thing.
Now, you were at Woolwich in 1916 and 1917.
Yes.
What percentage of women were employed in your particular factory? That's a rough figure.
Yes. It wasn't until the latter part of 1917 we noticed that...
Sorry, the latter part of when?
1917.
You weren't there in the latter part of 17. Do you mean 16?
Yes, that's quite correct. I'm sorry about
that's
that.
All right.
That's true, yes. Well, the latter part of 16 and the early part of 1917, just before I was called into the forces, so they were bringing young ladies in to take over our jobs.
So at the time you left the Woolwich Arsenal, what would it have been, about 10% of women?
Yes, I'm saying about 10%, yes.
That seems a low figure, because in many factories at the time, the large majority of the workers were women. Was there any particular reason why it was so low in your factory?
Well, in this particular shop, I'm saying it's relative to women not coming into machine shops to work, drilling machines, lathes, and etc., etc. But women going into, say, the filling factory further down the road, that they've been there quite a time, because I remember seeing them come into Berryford Square, which was the shopping centre, Market Square, Berryford Square, coloured this particular yellowy kind of colour, and there were quite a lot of them about. So I just imagine that they were in the Arsenal probably 1915 onwards.
So your understanding would be that women just didn't want to do this kind of work?
No, it was felt that they weren't capable of doing the work, you see. And I think that was general, that a woman couldn't do that, driving buses and etc., etc.
When they did come into the factory, did they prove themselves to be quite capable
of it? Oh, they did, definitely so, yes. Yeah.
And when they started coming into your factory, were any special arrangements made to receive them?
Well, as regards segregation or anything like that?
Yes, I wondered if the effect of women coming into your particular factory just had any effect on the way you worked.
Not at all. Oh, no, not at all.
Did it seem to be strange to be working with women?
Well, being young and young ladies coming into it, you kind of... You accepted it, as one would when, if you went to a place of amusement, you were introduced to a young woman, you see, or a young lady.
Did any problems arise, any problems that affected the work?
Not really. I think one salient point was when there was a bit of, a squabble over one young lady paying more attention to another young man, and jealousy crept in, and there was a bit of a fisticuffs over it. I do remember that, and I was probably that might have happened in a wider sphere after I'd left.
Did the factory provide any facilities for the workers?
No. There was no facilities for the workers as regards a canteen. There was one kind of a hot water arrangement where one could heat your meal up. But as regards a canteen and a special place to sit, no, you had your meal by the machine.
Well, during a 12-hour day, you'd probably want to eat a couple of times. What would be the arrangements for eating?
There was no 11s as such or tea break. It went straight on from 8 o'clock till, I suppose it would be 1 o'clock for a midday meal. You had your 1 hour for lunch.
And where would you spend the hour?
You'd either have it in your factory or go outside and somewhere in the cafe or somewhere, a coffee shop.
What about sports and recreation clubs? Were there any of those around?
They started to do entertaining. And it was only on the night shifts, during the meal break, that they had entertainment, which was subscribed by anybody who was actually working there. In other words, there's no professionals came in to do it, but anybody had a flair for doing a song or reciting, well, then they were invited to come up onto a kind of a stage and introduced us. But there's no extended hours for it. It was fitted in into a meal break.
Was there any conflict between recruitment of industrial workers and military recruitment.
Any conflict?
Yeah.
I'm not quite clear on that.
Well, for example, you said that you could earn quite a lot of money, and I wondered if, for example, that would make men feel reluctant to go into the services and try and avoid it if possible.
I think there was an element about that. As far as I remember, there was cases where a bit of fiddling going on, where people got into armaments to avoid going into the forces.
How could they do that? What kind of fiddles could they do in order to keep out?
Well, once one was on armaments, and they were in a special department, which was an exclusive work, well, then, of course, they were called indispensable.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have people introduced in these certain departments, and they became indispensable, and they remained.
Now, this time when you were working in Woolwich...
Yeah.